Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
It's that time again. It's 3:15, 2012. Thursday, March Madness is in effect. The NFL draft frenzy is in effect. NBA trades are in effect. It's an absolutely crazy time of the year. It's apropos to be named March Madness because that's exactly what it is. Welcome to the FSP and Crew Show. I am your host, JT, along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, as usual, on Thursday night at this time. We engage in conversation and give you information about the world of fantasy sports where there's a lot of information and conversation that's going to happen today and politics. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll run it back to you again, 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room that's open, open season on the chat room. Converse to anything you like to talk about, NBA, NFL, baseball, spring training is in effect also, March Madness. This is a crazy time of the year when all three of these sports and events are happening. All I got to say is this.
You gotta be kidding me.
I don't know what to say. But before I even start ranting and raving like you all, like I always do it sometimes, and long-winded, sometimes I just leave my two guests out there to dry for a while before I decide to finish. Let's bring my two co-hosts in now and have them say hello, and maybe they want to say a few things before we get started with this show. I'll start with Jeff and then Black. Talk to me, guys.
Hello, Jerry. I'm glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you, and I'm looking forward to speaking with Black because I'm not at home. I'm on the road right now, and I want to get caught up on what's happened the last few hours in the NBA, et cetera, et cetera. Some days a few hours doesn't mean much, but a day like today, there's just big news all over the place. So let's do it.
Talk to me, Bookie.
What's going on, people? I got one eye in the show, one eye on my bets. It is March Madness time. Oh, man, so much going on today. But I'm here. We got the information. Let's go.
Well, first of all, I'm going to play this again because I happen to see this because we're going to touch on the NBA first before we touch on the March Madness before we go into the NFL. I mean, we got a lot on the plate here, and we got an hour to do it, maybe a little bit more, but I want to play this because this one trade I couldn't believe. A stalwart on a team, he gets traded away.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers. How could you do it to them? Traded Derek Fisher away to the Houston Rockets? Black, talk to me.
Well, you know, everybody has a time, and everyone has an expiration date. And unfortunately, Derek Fisher's time with the Lakers is over. The Lakers decided to go younger. They pick up Jordan Hill, the center, from the Houston Rockets, and they also acquire Ramon Sessions and Christian Inge, shooting guard from the Cavaliers. It was just time, I mean. Derek Fisher, you know, got a couple titles there. But that backcourt in L.A., besides Kobe, there was nothing there.
All right, before we jump into anything else, we got a caller on the line. I want to bring this caller in and see what they want to talk about. Hello, caller from the 202. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. What you got to say?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Deshaun. Just got to say what's up to my man, Black. Just want to comment on a couple of the situations that went down today. I want to start with the Cuse. I really think they're going to be affected in the tournament. I think that's going to really affect their distance going deep into the tournament. Now that, you know, Fab Melo, he was a real monster on the boards, especially on the defensive boards. And as far as with that Derek Fisher situation, I think the Lakers should have went ahead and just, you know, rolled it out for the rest of the season, because I think, you know, they were finally starting to gel with the big three. And, you know, Fisher is like I don't really think this the new guy they're bringing, I don't really think he's going to have, like, you know, that, how can I say it, like that, you know, that postseason drive, like, you know, the knack of just making big plays, you know, in the clutch. Even though Fish, you know, had his problems, you know, being though, because he was, you know, kind of small on defense, he was a real good, he would always make big shots and, you know, tough games. But like Black said, I guess it was his time. And as far as it, also I want to just comment on the last trade, you know, the Washington Wizards. I don't know who made the call to get rid of Nick Young, but, I mean, it kind of feels like, you know, today, you know, Weber, Rasheed Wallace, and Juwan Howard, and Ross Strickland, that thing got broke up. I'm just at a loss for words. How could you get rid of Nick Young? All this team really needed was a coach, maybe someone like a Larry Brown, and, you know, someone that could just, you know, put in the discipline with those guys. I feel as though they were just 1 year away. And that's why I'm probably a Lakers fan. I'm from D.C., you know, but, hey, man, that's just how it is. I guess the politics of Capitol Hill affects the team, affects the dead skin, because I'm a Cowboys fan. We even have a saying in D.C. that D.C. stands for Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I've just been a fan ever since, you know, Tony Dorsett ran, you know, past that whole dead skin thing, the 99 yards. But, hey, man, you know, I guess the bad decisions at Capitol Hill affected the personnel moves of the Wizards and the Dead, and that's just how it goes.
Okay. I'm going to go with Derek Fisher first, because you touched on that. I'm not a Laker fan. I happen to be a Knicks fan, but I am a fan of Derek Fisher. I think he's a class act. I think he's pretty much a stabilizer in that whole one of the stabilizers on that team. I'm surprised that the Lakers, even though, I mean, he's a little long in the tooth, got rid of Derek Fisher and didn't hold on to him for the longer term. I'm not a big fan of the coach, so I'm not a big fan of Mike Brown at all. I think he's a bad fit for the Lakers altogether. I think it shows with Kobe and his body language towards Mike Brown. And probably the rest of the players toward Mike Brown. And Derek Fisher is like a calming force on that team. Now where do they go to get, for lack of a better term, a voice of reason?
Definitely forgetting that they have a guy named Made a World Peace. You got to go to world peace for that time and effect.
Are you serious? You cannot be serious. You can't. And let me put it this way. You can't go to Kobe, because Kobe is an emotional player. And he does a lot of things on emotion. Derek Fisher is the calming force on that team.
You definitely need to lose a floor general with a sure floor general, you know, going into any battle, especially when the playoffs coming up. And with Fish was there when they beat OKC the first time when they played Oklahoma City, because right now I can't, even though I'm a Lakers fan, but OKC is definitely my favorite. They're my favorite to win it all, you know, without question. But you definitely, I just don't understand the move getting rid of Derek Fisher. Maybe getting rid of all tests with somebody else. you know, deep pitch, nah, that's my guy. That should be second one.
Well, and I don't know too much about Nick Young. I'm not a Wizards fan, and I don't follow the team that much. Black or yourself can fill me in on how Nick Young fit in the team chemistry. Black, you want to elaborate on that now?
Oh, Nick Young was not the type of guy that we needed at the two. He has a good game. He's a very good player, but he takes a lot of jump shots. He's not a guy that's going to drive to the hole consistently. But I'm surprised that the Wizards traded him and what they got in return.
Well, let me ask you this. What they got in return, you said, was Jordan Hill and I forget the other person you told me about.
The Wizards acquired Nene from the Nuggets and Brian Cook, a power forward who virtually sees no time on the floor. The Nuggets get JaVale McGee and Ronnie Turiaf. JaVale McGee and Ty Lawson out there in Denver is going to be a great combination.
So you think the Wizards got fleeced in this deal or what?
They want to talk about Wizards getting fleeced. Let's go back to Chris Webber, Rasheed Wallace, any number of names from the Wizards history. The Wizards always get fleeced, my friend. You bear me all the time. We need to get rid of Ernie Grunfeld. I'm still on that train. The Facebook page is not up yet, but it soon will be. This guy has to go, man.
Well, I'm glad. Let me put it this way. I'm glad Ernie Grunfeld left the Madison Square Garden station a long time ago, and he wound up I think he was out in Milwaukee for a while.
Once he left, Milwaukee started doing good. I need that same transition to happen in D.C.
Well, good luck.
I'm going to add this, too. Like I was saying, as far as with this Wizards team that's going on right now, these guys, I think Richarlison is definitely there. As far as Nick Young, he's a heck of a, I felt as though he was a heck of a jump shooter. I think these guys were just, this team before Nick Young, you know, was shipped out. This team is probably just one good coach away from, you know, really becoming something special. All you needed was a guy in there like a Larry Brown or someone who could just maybe, like, anytime, you know, they get behind a little bit, take a time out, let the guys know, you know, play defense, let Wall know, you know, let John Wall know to, you know, turn it up a little bit, maybe even work on his three-point shot because I notice he does, you know, he brings it in a lot, you know what I'm saying? He take that 15. That's the 15-foot jump shot. That's the sure thing. But it seems like, you know, he does. He's very active. He's the most active player on the floor for the Wizards at all times. But I mean, from what I understand, you know, a lot of people say they see these guys in nightclubs partying night in, night out. You know what I mean? And I think a veteran coach, you know, can really strap down on those type of things. I mean. Like a couple of friends of mine even say, a lot of the Wizards look like, you know, a pickup game, you know, when you come to their game. So, hey, man, I don't know.
Well, let me put it this way. There's two coaches out there right now that are out of a job. One was a Knicks coach, Mike D'Antoni, and the other was from Portland who just got fired. So, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't know if you're looking for two different type of styles. One of those coaches can come over and take over. I don't know.
You know why Portland fired the head coach? Because it's a lot easier firing him than all 12 of the players. Because I don't know if any of you guys saw the Portland Knicks game last night. Oh, my God. I know Portland is not a good team, and they're in the middle of a grueling – or they're at the end of a grueling road trip. But they didn't even look like an NBA team. They looked abysmal. It looks like they bailed on the season. That's why they're calling them the Bail Blazers. And, you know, so many times, you know, they can't fire the players, so they fire the coach. And, I'm a casual NBA fan, but, you know, after football's over, I like to watch the Knicks. And I was not happy that D'Antoni quit yesterday. I mean, obviously, I think he was somewhat forced to quit, and you know, I just would like to see the Knicks settle down, because for a long time the Knicks were a joke, and Donnie Walsh helped straighten out the roster, straighten out the cap. I'm not a huge fan of D'Antoni's style of ball, but at least they won with him, and just people are really quick to forget the dark days of the Isaiah Thomas era. And, you know, they brought in Mike Woodson as an assistant, I think, to work more with the defense, which surprised more NBA teams don't do that. Maybe that's what the Lakers should have done with Mike Brown, just bring him in to focus on the defense. You know, kind of like in football, you got an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator.
Right.
I don't think NBA coaching staffs are necessarily set up like that. Thing is, Mike Woodson, you know, he's got a lot of head coaching experience with Atlanta. He's got plenty of assistant coach experience. I even remember he played for the Knicks his rookie year when I was a kid. So not too many guys in the modern NBA could play and head coach for the same team. But now you can put Mike Woodson on that list. I don't know if he can make the necessary changes in the middle of this condensed season. I guess it gives him somewhat of an audition if the team could kind of pull it together. And it's a shame because they had a shot because Philly was sliding. But the Knicks got ice cold. And one of the reasons they got hot when Melo and Amare was out was they hit a soft spot in the schedule.
Right.
You know, when they started playing the better teams, that's when they started losing. And a lot of people aren't too happy with Carmelo Anthony, and I guess you could put me on that list. I mean, I'm not saying the whole thing is his, but, you know, D'Antoni was not for that Carmelo trade, and they give up half their roster for the guy, and maybe not the greatest fit for that team. And, you know, I just want to see the Knicks settle down a little bit, settle down with a roster, settle down with a coach, you know, because, you know, and try to bring in the right guys. Don't just keep bringing in guys because they finally have a decent bench, but, you know, some of these guys, J.R. Smith, whatever, Barron, you know, I don't know if these are the right pieces, you know. With the Lakers, I'm scratching my head about them. I mean, that team has almost continuously been dominant since before I was born. I think the issue with the Lakers is the management. The owner's son now is calling the shots. And
I had mentioned that earlier.
I think that's the issue. Because when, you know, Jerry West and I guess later on other people were calling the shots, it was always like they had a plan and the plan usually worked. And now I'm just, ever since they traded Odom, I'm like, okay, what's the plan? What's the plan? And, you know, when they first made the Odom trade, I thought, okay, they're going to use that first-round pick as part of something else and blah, 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 you know, because he's, you know, too good of a player just to trade for a pick. And so far, I don't see the plan, you know. So,
well, we had mentioned that on the show. I forget which one it was, but earlier in the season when Phil Jackson left and then Mike Brown got hired, we had mentioned that the father and son, especially the son, didn't get along with Phil Jackson, even though Phil Jackson was, had the daughter as a girlfriend. He didn't get along with the son, and his son would pretty much put his stamp on the team once Phil Jackson left by hiring Mike Brown, saying we're going in a totally different direction than what Phil Jackson and the triangle offense came to. So you're right. I mean, there may be dysfunction in the Lakers front office, just like I think there's a dysfunction of the Knicks front office.
What I don't understand with the Knicks is you bring in a guy who has a particular system, a Mike D'Antoni.
Right.
D'Antoni asked you to get him players that he knows to fit and run his system. And you know to tie D'Antoni with that. And I think the last straw for D'Antoni is D'Antoni actually wanted to trade Carmelo Anthony for Deron Williams straight up, and they told him no. And that led to resignation.
Oh, really? I didn't get wind of that. I can believe it. I mean, when they brought D'Antoni in here, I think after they got Amari Stoudemire and then they were going strong at Carmelo, quite naturally, everybody in God's creation knew Mike D'Antoni didn't want Carmelo, and lack of a better term, raped the team and gave it to Denver to get Carmelo Anthony. D'Antoni didn't have too many allies in the front office, so he was pretty much on his own. I guess he said, I can't keep fighting this battle on my own because my superstar a so-called superstar player, Carmelo Anthony, wants to play one way, and I'm trying to run a different offense, and he's not jumping on board. Everybody else is jumping on board, but he's not jumping on board. And I guess it came to a head, within the last week, from what I understand and what I've seen. I saw a few games, especially the last game they played over the weekend, I think it was, that the body language was not really, really there with Carmelo and D'Antoni. They seemed like they were just like, this can't work. And I guess D'Antoni said, I've had enough. I don't need this aggravation. I'm going to take my ball and go home. So anyway, we got off the beaten track. Black, I know you got a lot of things that are going on in the NBA. You can start wherever you like and just run them down to me, or run them down to us and the audience, and just let us know what you think, and then we'll comment on whatever.
All right. Well, since you guys mentioned Derek Fisher earlier, the Rockets acquired Derek Fisher for 2000 and also a 2012 round draft pick from the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers acquired Jordan Hill, center from Houston. The Washington Wizards acquired Nene and Brian Cook in a draft pick. The Nuggets received JaVale McGee, Monty Torioff, and the Los Angeles Clippers acquired Nick Young. The San Antonio Spurs pick up Steven Jackson, shooting guard from Golden State. The Golden State received Richard Jefferson, small forward, in the Spurs 2012 first-round pick. The Houston Rockets acquired Marcus.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Before you go any further, Richard Jefferson went to Golden State, and Steven Jackson goes to the Spurs?
Yes, indeed.
Wasn't Steven Jackson in Golden State for about a day? Did he even bother to unpack?
Yes. I was just saying, because I just heard about the trade that he got traded over to Golden State.
He is now with the Spurs.
Okay. Wow.
Richard Jefferson is now in Golden State.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Houston Rockets acquired Marcus Camby from Portland, I guess, from that abysmal performance that the Joker was talking about last night. And the Trailblazers pick up Johnny Flynn, point guard, and Hashim Tabeet, center, and the future second-round pick. The New Jersey Nets acquire Gerald Wallace, forward, from Portland again. And the Trailblazers also acquire Mehmet Okur and Sean Williams from the New Jersey Nets and the future first-round pick. The Lakers land Ramon Sessions, point guard, and Christian Ayinga, shooting guard, from the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, in exchange, will pick up Luke Walton, Jason Capono, the Lakers' 2012 first-round pick, and the Rikers swap the Miami Heat's 2013 first-round pick with the Lakers' first-round pick. Golden State Warriors acquired 2012 second-round pick from the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks acquired cash considerations. The Indianapolis Pacers acquired Leandro Barbosa, point guard, from Raptors for a second-round pick. The Philadelphia 76ers acquired Sam Young, guard forward, and the Grizzlies acquired the rights to Ricky Sanchez. The trade that kicked off all the trade moves, the Milwaukee Bucks acquired Monte Ellis, Ike Udo, and Kwame Brown from Golden State for Andrew Bogut and a one-seed Steven Jackson, who has now moved to the San Antonio Spurs.
Kwame Brown. He used to be with the Wizards, right?
Yes, he did. Your number one draft pick way back when.
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, about half the NBA players changed jerseys today. That's what you're telling us, right?
It was a definite exchange of jerseys today.
What I'm surprised about in there, Black, from what the trades you ran down there, there were, I think, about a half a dozen first round picks being traded away.
Yeah, a couple of first and a couple of second rounders.
Okay, I thought I heard more than at least three, maybe more first rounders being pushed off with an addition of players, which I think was, in my opinion, a high price to pay for some of those players they got. Wow.
You know what, though, Jerry? It all depends when that first-round pick is, because at the end of the NBA draft, a first-round pick isn't worth much. but a lottery pick is worth a heck of a lot. So it depends, you know, it really does. You know, you don't want to mortgage your future, but if you're a team that wins every year and you continue to win, late first-round picks to give up for a good player aren't you know, it's not a high price, you know.
Right. Black, you ran down all those trades. Tell me who's got the better of the trades and who's got the worst of all those trades. You have an idea about that?
Well, right now, I'm not sure, but I'm very interested to see this backcourt in Milwaukee of Monte Ellis and Brandon Jennings. That should be very, very exciting to see. I'm also intrigued by the big man to stay healthy, the big Australian, Andrew Bogut, teaming up with Andre Beatrice down there in Golden State. That could be something. That'll be something to see. I think McGee will fit right in with Denver, playing with Ty Lawson and those guys. Gallinari, he's out for a while. I don't know when he's returning, but that could be a good look for Denver as well. Portland looks like they just blew up the team and just brought in guys. I'm not sure what type of moves Portland are making.
Well, they got rid of the coach and they got rid of a few players too, so that's the question is to you, and maybe Jeff want to drop in on us too. Monte Ellis with Brandon Jennings in Milwaukee. I think the reason why he left with the backcourt of Stephen Curry is because they couldn't coexist. Am I right about that? Both of them wanted the ball too much, and Monte Ellis liked to jack up a lot of shots. How's that going to work with Jennings in Milwaukee?
Well, Jennings is a point guard first, so I think it'll blend right with it. I mean, Jennings is left-handed, Monte Ellis is right-handed. They could just
right.
spread the court out and do what they do.
Okay. So you think that'll be they'll be better to coexist than Curry and Ellis coexisted because they were fighting for shots. From I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's better suited for Monte. I think the Bucks made a good move.
Okay. Who you think is the loser? I mean, besides Portland, which is obvious, trading away at least three players, maybe four players or whatever from the roster, who do you think made a dumb move we're going to regret it going down the stretch of the season?
Well, unfortunately, I have to say my Washington Wizards. I mean, you give up Nick Young and JaVale McGee, you just bring back a big man and a guy who highly plays.
Okay.
I'm excited that Nene's coming, but you could have got more.
Okay.
I mean, Nick Young is now down there in Lob City in Los Angeles. He's going to have a great time playing with Chris Paul.
Wow. So these two players that went from the Wizards, Nick Young, is he a three or a four?
Nick Young is a two.
Is it two? And what about McGee?
McGee is a five.
Is a five, okay. And you get Nene back and you get somebody else?
Brian Cook, power forward.
Okay. Wow. And who's your coach again?
Randy Whitman.
Okay.
Yeah. I need the Obama Commission to step in and use their Washington D.C. powers and get something going here.
Wow. All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about with the NBA before we move on to? Let's move on to March.
Well, Dwight Howard announced that he will be staying, so we'll see how that circus shakes out.
Well, I mean, the NBA deadline has passed, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's passed, but he's saying he's going to be there next year as well. So we'll see how that circus shakes out.
You know, you can walk out and see which way the wind is blowing, and an hour later, or maybe a minute later, that wind's going to be blowing in a different direction, and Dwight Howard's going to change his mind. You, Jeff, and I both, all three of us know that, because he's done it numerous times before. So he may say that now, which is March 15th, but come the summertime, or whenever, he may say, well, maybe I'll go to New York. Maybe I'll go to Minnesota. Who the heck knows what he's going to think? Because he runs his mouth and he says whatever it's on his mind, whether it makes sense or not.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see how New Jersey handles this situation because they're still trying to re-up Deron Williams. They just acquired Gerald Wallace in the trade. And it could be a place where Dwight ends up if he doesn't flip-flop.
Yeah. I'm thoroughly disgusted with the whole Dwight Howard thing because I don't really like him as a player. I don't think he's all that. I think all he does is dunk. He's an okay defensive player, in my opinion. I think he fouls weight. He has too much of a tendency to commit stupid fouls for another.
But how about the owner in Orlando letting Dwight pick who the coach would be, who the GM would be?
Yeah,
wanted to keep him around.
He made that. I heard he made that offer that he would give him the opportunity to if he stays around, that he could have a say in a coach and a GM. Are you kidding me? A player having that much power is a formula for disaster, without a doubt. What player in this day and age has the wherewithal to be able to pick a GM and a coach that is going to benefit the team?
Excuse me. I think it probably happens. It's just not well publicized. I think star players, they might not have decision making, but I think owners take star players' input for coaching decisions and possibly management decisions because these players they're pretty much married to these guys, they're kind of stuck with them sometimes, and I think some star players do get their input with the ownership. And the thing is, one of the odd things about Major League Pro Sports that the coaches now, they're not bosses. They're more like babysitters because I don't know too many jobs where the employees make a lot more money than the bosses. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true.
And that's why, pro sports is so weird. And that's why, the relationships between the head coach and the star players are important. And if they can't fix those relationships, Magic Johnson just made reference to the fact that early in his career, they accused him of getting Paul Westhead fired, which Magic didn't deny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it happens. But I think the perception is if people find out, it doesn't look good. And I think Orlando, because they're a small market team, is just desperate to stay relevant. And I think Dwight Howard, he's got a different song and dance for every day of the week. I don't know him personally, but I think he doesn't want to become a villain like, LeBron James. He doesn't want to become that guy. And maybe that's why he's been wavering back and forth so much. That might have something to do with it. Jerry, left something out. I think Dwight, especially now there seems to be a shortage of big men. I think he's excellent. But if you want to criticize him, his foul shooting is atrocious, even for big man.
Yep,
and,
yep.
And in the playoffs, when they got those cameras, those super close-up, you could tell in his face that he's really stressing. And late in the game in those kind of situations, it stinks to have a star player who you don't want in there because if he goes to the line, it's an adventure,
For lack of a better term, I'll call it the Shaq attack. Late in the game, it's a Shaq attack. He just like Shaq, he attacked Dwight and put him on a foul line because he's 50% foul shooting. So you got a 50-50 chance that he's going to make a shot. So, and sometimes it's even worse than that. So, like I said, he hasn't proven it. I understand that he's probably one of the better, if not the best, big man, but there's a lack of big men in the NBA. So, in my opinion, you really don't have to be all that to be a so-called superstar, because if you look around the league, how many fives on a team are really outstanding? Most of them are threes and fours, and the point guards, twos, threes, and fours are the main crux of what runs a team. Fives are just, most of the time, just a fill-in position, mainly for defense and maybe some scoring, but nothing major. So he's at a point in time that he reached where there are very few big men that can compete with him and his skill set. So he just happened to fall in that right position right now. Years back when you had a few big men that could compete, I don't think he would be able to compete with him on the same level consistently. But right now he stands out by himself because there's not too many big men out there, fives I'm talking about, that can compete and deal with him. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. He doesn't have too much of a floor game. All he does is dunk and maybe block shots, but, man, you know.
He
gets you 20
rebounds, too.
Yeah, well, like I said, he's a five. So you're talking about a five, and this day and age, a lot of fives are just fill-ins. They're not really a main cog in a team's offense. If you look around the league, you name me some fives that are main cogs in the team's offense compared to a three or a two or a one. Those are the main guys. Two threes and fours. One twos and threes. A point guard, two guard, and the three position, small forward, are the flamboyant positions that everybody comes to see. So anyway. You got anything else in the NBA there, Black?
That's it for now.
All right. Now, I don't know if Jeff got in. I got into the FSP Fantasy Sports and Politics March Madness bracket. There's some games going on now and some games that have already been played. games that have already been played. Let me see if I can run down some of these here. I'll do it this way because I got the bracket in front of me and also have what region they're in. I'll start in the West. In the West, the 5-12 game was the New Mexico against Long Beach State. I hit that because Black had mentioned that first. New Mexico was the 5, Long Beach State was the 12. New Mexico, I don't know what the point spread was, but New Mexico beat Long Beach by 7 points, 75-68. And then Louisville, which surprised me. I thought it would be a bigger score than this, but surprisingly, Davidson, one of those mid-majors in the small schools gave Louisville a fight. Louisville was a 4, Davidson was a 13, and Louisville only beat him by 7 points, 69-62. Murray State, everybody said Murray State, 30-1, 30-2, whatever they were not for real. They played the number 6 Murray State played 11 of Colorado State. Some people I talked to thought Colorado State was going to win this and expose Murray State for what they were. They disposed of Colorado by 17, 58-41, meaning besides scoring 58 points, which is not a lot, they held Colorado State to 41 points. Wow. I don't know if this was a defensive game or Colorado State was ice cold. I didn't see this game, but 41 points in a tournament game, that's definitely not cutting it. Anyway, We go on to Marquette, number 3 Marquette, disposed easily. BYU, 14th in the West as a seed, 88-68. Out of those four teams, four winners, number 5 New Mexico is going to face number 4 Louisville. Number 6 Murray State is going to face number 3 Marquette. I don't know if any of you, Jeff has been on the road. I don't know if, Black, you've seen any of these games.
I've been at work, so I haven't been able to see any game. I was listening. I thought I was going to hear upset early with UNC Asheville and the Syracuse, but unfortunately Asheville couldn't pull it out. What a blessing, though. What a blessing.
I listened to a commentary on it. I didn't listen to the replay. Or play-by-play. I told Jeff earlier before the show started that I would listen to a commentator or a sports station that was giving us information on the game near the end of the game. And Syracuse was at one point in trouble. They were losing to North Carolina Asheville at halftime, 34-30, and had a fight. Number 1 Syracuse in the East region had to fight to beat number 16 North Carolina Asheville. They were favored by 17 points in this game. They won 72-65. And from what I understand, I told Jeff, when I understand they looked like they were doing everything they could possibly do near the end of this game to lose this game. They were throwing away the ball, not hitting their foul shots, the one-on-one foul shots, fouling North Carolina near the end of the game, stopping the clock. It seemed like they were completely out of it. I don't know if it was because of the loss of their center is affecting the team or the other things that have been going on with the team.
Excuse me, their star center.
Yes.
He wasn't just a starting big man. This is probably one of the best players in college basketball.
Okay.
So
right.
He's a big star. And, he got suspended by the school right before the tournament. And I guess it's safe to assume he'll be in the NBA next year. So
he's already declared for the draft. But there's no excuse for Syracuse to struggle with the team. That's all this guy was 6'5".
Let me put it this way. Now, from what I understand, that the plan, people in this game thought they were going to run up and down the court. Well, they slowed the game down. They packed it in and dared Syracuse to hit 3 points or outside shot. In the beginning, in the first half, quite naturally, Syracuse, I think, was like 3-for-17 in three-point shots. So that's one reason why they were losing the game. I imagine they still kept that same scenario in the second half. And circumstances, either they ran out of gas or poor decisions or whatever, helped them lose the game near the, you know.
I heard that their loss was also referee assisted towards the end of that game.
Okay.
A lot of controversial statements about that game.
Okay. I can believe that. I mean, I can believe that referees, regardless of what people say, have a big say in some of these games because a lot of these games, especially with high seed going against the low seed as a close game, you say referees don't favor certain teams or that the NCAA, and I'm speaking along Jeff's terms, the NCAA doesn't want certain teams does want certain teams to get to a certain point to draw crowds and to keep attention into a certain region or a certain avenue, certain venue. They may make calls that sway games. I'm not saying it can't be. Doesn't happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. It does happen. I'm just saying that it could. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, personally, I'm not saying the NCAA is putting pressure or implying pressure on the refs to call the games a certain way. But I think sometimes in these kind of big games, I think it's not just the players who can get starstruck. It's the refs sometimes.
Okay.
And I think sometimes, you know, these refs, some of them are in awe of the elite schools, you know, the Syracuse's schools like that. I think it happens. I think sometimes they're in awe, for lack of a better term. And you want to go back about 20 years. I don't know if you remember that game in the tournament, Princeton against Georgetown, when Georgetown
was
dominant every year. You know where I'm going. I think they had Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo at the time, and plus other guys.
Pete Carrillo was coach.
As a Georgetown fan, I have to take offense to the statement that you're making right now.
Pete Carrillo was a coach. I watched that game. I definitely watched that game, and that was to say the least a ref game that was, in my opinion, could have been questioned. Let me put it that way.
But I think that the refs were. I'm not saying that they called the game crooked, but I think they're in awe of, you know, the big name school, the big name coach, the star players, yada yada.
Right.
I think they're in awe. And,
right.
And Princeton, who for an Ivy League school was tops at the time.
Right.
They really gave Georgetown a run for the money. And usually when you see those kind of upsets, they're usually low scoring. And I think that game was something like 52-50 or whatever.
Yep.
And which, you know, for shot clock era for college hoops is incredibly low. But Princeton knew how to slow it down. They had an excellent Ivy League, you know, team and the excellent coach. And they almost slayed the giant. And I'll tell you, maybe you could tell me when the game is. One of the games that I want to see in the tournament, but personally I'm a big NIT fan, but that other tournament, the NCAA, I think that Vanderbilt-Harvard game looks interesting.
Vanderbilt-Harvard played already.
Oh, they did? Who won that game?
Vanderbilt won. That's one of the ones I'm going to go through, but I can go through it now. No big deal. Vanderbilt won that game 79-70.
And you see, these are two of the good academic schools. I mean, you know, Harvard, Ivy League school, obviously. They don't even give athletic scholarships. And even in the Ivy League has not been a basketball power. I don't even know if they've been to the tournament before. And Vanderbilt is probably academically the best school in the SEC. And I hate it when these schools with high academic standards don't have good sports teams and people bust on them. Like, why are you busting on them? They've got the right priorities. I can't stand that.
Right.
So, you know, these are the schools I root for. You know, schools subtly, you know, like, you know, in football there's Rice. Everybody used to make fun of them. Everybody used to make fun of Northwestern. And I'll tell you, after the disgusting Sandusky scandal in Penn State, makes you wonder, you know, maybe some schools should have priorities, you know, education over just their image and things like that. So, and I think it might have been, it's not the first trip to the tournament for Harvard, one of the first. And that's where Jeremy Lin played his college ball at Harvard.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And
yep.
Ivy League, they don't send a lot of guys to the NBA, but they have a good style of ball, and they don't have a conference tournament. So their division games during the season are huge because there's no conference tournament, and it really makes those games just so much more important. So, you know, three cheers for the Ivy League.
All right. Let me go through these other ones. Kansas State, number 8, Kansas, 8-9 games. There are always 8-9 games. I love to watch 8-9 games because those type of games, those two teams supposedly for the most part are so evenly matched that for the most part, like I said, you're going to see a very good game. I imagine this game was pretty good. Kansas State won it 70. Kansas State being the 8 seed and Southern Miss being the 9 seed. Kansas State won it 70-64. Now Kansas State is going to go up against Syracuse. And Vanderbilt, like I said, beat Harvard 79-70. They're going up against Wisconsin, number 4 rated in the East, who beat Montana handily 73-49. That's amazing that 49 and 41, two teams score. One a 13 seed and the other one an 11 seed. We'll wait and see. There's some games that are going on now. At the end of the first half, it looks like Kentucky is up on Western Kentucky by 19, 45-26. Halfway through the first half in the this is in the South region, number 5, Wichita State, up against number 12, Virginia Commonwealth, who are like Virginia Commonwealth in this. I like them. Virginia Commonwealth is up 21-18. I'm trying to think. Let me see if anybody else that's playing now. Oh, West Virginia is playing, who's ranked 10 in the East, is playing number 7, Gonzaga. Gonzaga's up by 11, 21-10. And I think that's the only other game that's going on now. Yes. So that's where we stand now. So the teams that have moved on from the first round are Syracuse, Kansas State, Vanderbilt, Wisconsin in the East. In the West, New Mexico, Louisville, Murray State, Marquette, and teams in the South have yet to be determined that are playing right now. And right now there's no teams that are playing in the Midwest. They all start tomorrow from what I'm looking at. So that's how we stand now with the March Madness. And I think we're going to be going over a little bit. It's about 8 minutes left in the show, and we're going to get to the NFL right now, which is a lot of things been going on in the NFL that are going to shape the fantasy landscape of next year. A lot of players are going to teams that are going to be either weaker or stronger than they were the previous season. Things may be shifting. We'll just have to wait and see. Quite naturally, the biggest one, Peyton Manning, has yet to be decided. But the next biggest one, in my opinion, is Mario Williams, who just after three days of being in Buffalo, finally signed a contract with the Buffalo Bills. A huge contract he signed. I'm trying to get the information. I know it's over $100 million. I think
$50 million was guaranteed. I mean,
yes.
For a court that just had a lockout, a lot of money is flying all of a sudden.
Yes, here it is. $100 million for 6 years, $50 million guaranteed. And it dwarfs the 6-year, $84 million pact that Julius Pepper signed last year, or 2 years ago in March. And his deal was 42 guaranteed. So I guess the amount of time he spent there, the 3 days, was well worth it because he got paid because of it. Let me run down a few of the other ones here. Steve Hutchinson signed with the Tennessee Titans. He's a long stalwart with the Minnesota Vikings. Now he's with the Tennessee Titans. That's going to change. That's going to make put a big smile on Chris Johnson's face when he's going to be running behind Steve Hutchinson again. He's still got a lot left in the tank, and that should be.
Do you think this move has hints of Peyton Manning written all over it?
Well, from what I understand, Peyton Manning, Titans.
Because it's an excellent move by those guys.
Well, absolutely. Titans and the Denver Broncos are supposed to be the front runners right now for the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, but you never know. Peyton Manning is in analysis mode now, trying to analyze what team is going to be a better fit for him. I think it's the Titans. I think it would be the Dolphins, in my opinion. But he may have bad vibes with the Dolphins and not want to go there because, one thing, they got rid of Brandon Marshall. Now, who's number one receiver there now?
and I'll have to play Belichick twice a year.
What's that?
If he goes to Miami, he'll have to play Belichick twice a year.
Well, that's true, too. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Supposedly, he's going to make a decision within the next 3 or 4 days, maybe even tomorrow. So, we just have to wait and see.
Well, they're debating with Matt Flynn now. Matt Flynn is scheduled to go down there.
Down in Miami, yeah. Because it looks like that Peyton Manning is tossing aside the idea of going to Miami. I think they probably got vibes saying, don't look for me to come down there. It's not going to happen. So they're supposedly looking the Matt Flynn way. We'll have to wait and see. Brandon Mayweather, who played for Chicago, free safety. Now he's with the Redskins. Jaquan Parker, who was with the Philadelphia Eagles, now he went to the Cleveland Browns. Let me see now. Peyton Hillis, your boy Peyton Hillis there, Black. He is no longer with the Cleveland Browns. Quite naturally, he was looking for a home. He went to Kansas City. Now, everybody's going to say, oh, he went to Kansas City means Jamaal Charles, either he's not healthy or he's not going to be running the ball. It's going to be a 50-50 split. I still think Jamaal Charles is going to get the bulk of the carries, and Peyton Hillis is just going to pick up the pieces near the goal line. We'll have to wait and see on that one. This is a big move. This is a big move here. You know that Hicks went from the Saints to the Bucks. Well, the Baltimore Ravens lost Ben Grubbs.
My man.
And he went to the New Orleans Saints.
Right, thanks, Jerry, for not even attempting to bring those guys down. Thanks, man.
Well, Dallas is in tough shape. They got penalized by Commissioner Roger Goody Two Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Chad Henne, I have no idea why he went here, but he went to the Jaguars. Maybe he's thinking he can get a job over Blaine Gabbert. I guess he figured he got a shot there. And also, LaRon McClain, who used to be with Baltimore. He used to be with Kansas City. He went with the San Diego Chargers. That means Mike Tolbert, you know, is not going to be there, for one. Laurent Robinson, another ex-Cowboy for
a brief
time.
Thanks, Jerry, for that one, too. Thanks.
He went to the Jaguars. The Jaguars starting to pick up little pieces here and there.
I think they overpaid for him, though, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, they got a 5-year contract, $32 million, 5-year contract for $32 million, $5 million a year. So that's and what kind of guaranteed money did he get here? I don't see that. And then you did pick up somebody. You picked up a fullback from the Houston Texans. Lawrence Vickers came to the.
I don't care about Lawrence Vickers. The two pickups that I'm very happy with are Dan Huffman, Apple Machine.
Well, you know, they put it this way. And Tennessee lost a player to the Rams. He went to with his old coach, Cortland Finnegan, of the Fighting. Hello? Black? Black, you still there? We lost Black.
We might have lost them. I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. And Cortland Finnegan of the Tennessee Titans. Now he went to the St. Louis Rams. And I was going to get to Black's Martellus Bennett. Quite nasty. He used to be a tight end with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Jeff, you got that knucklehead.
Yeah, I actually like the signing. People say, you know, criticize and saying he's been a disappointment. It's not like he's been the number one receiver in Dallas. So you're not going to put up great numbers being the number two guy behind a star receiver like Dallas has had with Witten. Giants, they play conservative with the free agents. They don't usually make big splashes. So I actually like that signing, and I think they might be looking to pick up another tight end because – they had two tight ends with serious knee injuries in the Super Bowl, so
yeah.
They're looking to add at that spot. So,
hey, we're talking. We got Black back. We're talking about Martellus Bennett. leaving your Cowboys and going to the Giants, Black?
Now, this I won't say sarcastically, but thank you, Jerry Jones, for letting that guy walk.
And we got about 10 seconds left before we go over to overtime. We're going to go over overtime so I can finish this and then close the show out. Corey Redding, another Baltimore Raven, a defensive end. He went to the Colts. That's a surprise. Now, I know you're smiling about this one, Black. A previous cornerback from the Kansas City Chiefs, he goes to the star. He's going to be wearing a star on his helmet. We're talking about Brandon Carr. I know you're happy about that one. You say thank you, Jerry Jones, for that?
I'm sort of on the fence with that one.
Really?
I'm sort of on the fence with that pickup, and also Bradley Poole, the ex-Jet. We could have done better without those two guys. But, you know, Jerry is making his moves. We just have to see how they work out. They're going to have a full off-season to work with Rob Ryan now and that defensive scheme. So we'll see how everybody blends in. But I'm definitely excited about Dan Collins. Hopefully he's 100% back from that injury.
Well, here's another guy. I'm not mistaken. I think you like this quarterback that used to play for another one that used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now he's going to be wearing his star and his helmet, backing up your boy Tony Romo. We're talking about Kyle Orton.
I do not mind Kyle Orton. We needed a backup, and he's one of the perfect backups out there. You don't want to overpay for Matt Flynn. You're not too high on Jason Campbell. Kyle Orton looks like he'll be a perfect fit down there in Dallas.
Okay. You happy with that, then?
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Okay. Also,
anything is better than Stephen McGee.
Also, he used to be playing with the Detroit Lions. He's not going to be doing that. He's agreed to a contract to play for the Tampa Bay Bucs. Eric Wright went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Robert Meacham, this is significant. Since Vincent Jackson went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Robert Meacham went from the New Orleans Saints, went to the San Diego Chargers, and supposedly he's going to be the number one receiver. You guys, give me a comment on that. Black first and Jeff.
Well, before I even get to Meacham, Tampa Bay is having an excellent offseason right now. Let me give them credit. They're picking up guys, and I think that 6-10 anomaly that we saw this past season will probably be erased by Greg Schiano, the guy from Rutgers. I know that's Goldberg's boy. I'm telling you, he's making some moves down there, Jeff, and I definitely like what they're doing in Tampa Bay. But Robert Meacham being the number one, I'm kind of scratching my head. It might work out in San Diego, though. You never know.
Right. Jeff?
When Meacham is healthy, he's outstanding. He's got to be one of the fastest wide receivers in the league.
Exactly.
And I think that's a very nice pickup for San Diego. I have Meacham on my one of my dynasty teams. So, and the thing is, in New Orleans, year before last, he put up the numbers, but there's a lot of mouths to feed for Breeze in New Orleans. But he could be the guy and really show what he's got in San Diego.
Yeah. Okay. One of the surprise free agent moves that I didn't think was going to happen, a lot of people didn't, Reggie Rain re-signs with the Indianapolis Colts. And this was another surprise. I thought this quarterback was going to try to get a starting job somewhere. And he signs with the Chicago Bears, talking about what Black had talked about briefly, with Jason Campbell. He signs with the Chicago Bears to be a backup to Jay Cutler. That was a surprise to me. Josh Morgan goes to the Washington Redskins. And oh, my God. Wow. The Chargers signed Eddie Royal also. I'm just seeing it right now. The Chargers agreed to terms.
Oh, wow. They were down here going crazy in Washington, saying they signed this guy yesterday. So
nope.
The move is now official?
Chargers agreed to terms with wide receiver kick returner Eddie Royal on a 3-year contract. Royal
Brandon
drew a
Banks, your job is now safe.
Royal drew initial interest from the Ravens and the 49ers, but the final decision came down to the Bolts versus the Skins. Once players visit San Diego, they rarely get away. Able to play the slot and return punts, Royal is a nice complement to outside receivers and vertical threats, Robert Meacham, Malcolm Floyd, and Vincent Brown. Wow. Okay. That should be interesting. And what else am I looking at here? What else am I forgetting here? I'm seeing a few things here. Chad Schilling is supposedly drawing interest from San Francisco, St. Louis Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, and the Jets. John Carlson signs with the Minnesota Vikings. Kasante Shanko is looking for a home because he's looking at the Seahawks. Who else? Who am I leaving out here, guys? I know I'm leaving somebody out with a name, and I'm trying to think who it could be.
Sounds like you're wearing that
deal going on right as we speak.
Excuse me?
There's probably deals going on right as we speak.
That's true. I'm looking at a few other things here. Seems like Mario Manningham is still floundering around there, supposedly. Can't find a job. He went to the 49ers. They didn't land him. He's supposed to be on his way to the Rams. That may be a possibility. Quite naturally, everybody knows that the Dolphins are shifting their focus from Manning to Flynn. Also, Brandon Marshall. He got traded, but before he got traded, he left his mark. Supposedly it happened in New York that the woman's accusing Brandon Marshall of punching her in the face. He's saying that didn't happen. I heard something that his wife got, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that, and the wife got a bottle thrown in her face or something like that, and all hell broke loose. Who the hell knows? There's still investigation going on.
The Giants signed former safety from the Redskins, Chris Horton.
Oh, I didn't get that one. Is that right? Did that happen recently or what?
That was today.
That was today.
Brown signed defensive end Frosty Rucker to a 5-year contract.
Yeah,
Broncos
I got that.
Agreed to terms with Mike Adams.
Okay.
Chiefs signed running back Brian Daboll to a 1-year contract.
Well, there's still some other guys out there. Oh, Jared Gaither re-signed with the San Diego Chargers. He supposedly wasn't going to go back there, and I guess San Diego finally talked him into coming back, and we'll see what happens and see what happens with San Diego and see if North Turner can find some other way to screw things up. Michael Bush, I'm still waiting to see where he's supposed to be going. Supposedly he visited the Bears on Wednesday, and he's supposed to visit the Cincinnati Bengals also. That's going to be interesting where
he lands. I heard the Giants are interested in him, and I like Michael Bush. I think he's excellent, and Giants are going to need another running back because they let go of Brandon Jacobs.
Okay. Hey, this one I know, Black, you were on your you were listening with bated breath. You had to hear this. Derek Anderson, the quarterback that was with the Carolina Panthers, re-signed with them for one more year. I know he's one of your favorite players.
Oh, Derek Anderson.
I don't have anything else. That's about all. I'm waiting for where Peyton Manning lands. Like I said, I have him in one of my dynasty leagues. You guys know which one it is. I'm just waiting to see where he's going to land because in only time next year in the fantasy league he'll be on my bench is if he's hurt, which he very rarely happens because I don't think he's going to happen this year because he's going to go to a team that's got a very good offensive line. Or on his bye week, so I can get guaranteed points that was killing me last year from a quarterback. So
Buffalo agreed to terms with linebacker Kirk Morrison on a 2-year contract.
Okay. And I know Dan Connor, I didn't see it, but Dan Connor from the Panthers is being
cowboy now.
What's that?
He's a cowboy now.
He is a cowboy. Is that a fact?
Yes, that's a fact. A factual statement.
Okay. When did that happen? I'm looking.
That also happened today.
That happened today. I'm looking. Dan Connor. I liked him as a linebacker. I had him on. I think I had him on. I don't know if I had him on the league that we're in, but I know I had him on at least a couple other IDP leagues. He was a until he got hurt because he got hurt. Am I right about that? He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt early. He got hurt real early, and that took away all his numbers.
Yeah. So. Okay, so a lot of these moves are going to change the landscape of some of these teams. Cornerback and wide receivers, quite naturally, because this is a passing league. A lot of these teams are if you're a cornerback or you're a wide receiver, you are getting paid. You are definitely getting paid either to stop a receiver from catching a ball or catching the ball, one way or the other. If cornerback or wide receivers, you're getting paid. You get the Laurent Robinson getting overpaid in Jacksonville. Good luck, Laurent, because who's going to be throwing you the ball with any kind of accuracy? I don't know, but we'll see what happens there. All right, you guys, we ran over about 15 minutes, which is fine. You got any closing remarks before we close out here, and I can finish watching some more March Madness?
What game are you watching right now?
What game? I'm not watching any game. When I get on the program, I focus on the program, man.
I have one final thought.
What's that?
Well, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen, and thank everyone else for listening. And if the Broncos win the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, I really think they should look into trading Tim Tebow to Jacksonville for Blaine Gabbert, because I really don't think the Denver coaching staff and management is sold as Tebow is their guy. And Tebow could put some butts in the seat in Jacksonville. They're probably one of the few teams in the NFL that has to worry about selling tickets. And if they can get Blaine Gabbert in that deal, that could give Denver a quarterback of the future, because even if Peyton Manning is healthy and productive, there's only so many years he has left. So
right, exactly.
My final thought, thank you very much, and I hope to catch you guys Saturday. Take care.
Take care, Jeff.
Take care, Joker.
What about Black?
Well, Long Beach State, good run, man. Castleware, I got to salute you, man. Good run, good career. Hopefully you move on to better things in the NBA. Messed up my bracket though, man.
You picked Long Beach State as an upset, I guess.
I had Long Beach as an upset. I had full confidence in my mind. He had a bad game, but it's okay, man. Okay.
Okay. All right.
We'll move on.
All right. Well, people, it's been a pleasure. Tune in next week, same time, same station, with the same people, myself, JT, Black the Bookie, Jeff the Joker, 8 o'clock on Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, FSP Cruise Show. On Saturday, Vic, my man, won't be available. He had surgery today, so he's recuperating. Vic, we're praying for you. Hope things turned out okay. I'll be filling in until Vic is able to get back on Saturdays at 1 o'clock. We'll be on the FSP show, and on Sunday I'll also be there. So you'll get a lot of me for the next few weeks. Thursday,
heavy
doses of JT. FSP crew show on Thursday. FSP show on Saturday, and the master plan on Sunday, which is at 10 o'clock to 10 o'clock to 11, an hour show, and Kim Fung. Good luck on your trek to Mount Kilimanjaro. She will be trekking. I don't think she's gone yet. I mean, she left to get to her location, but she hasn't started her ascent yet. She'll be gone until April. I think her show is coming back. That'll be Compassion Dakini, and I gather she'll have some things to say about her quest up the mountain, 18,000 feet up in the air. That's a lot. That's a big quest, especially for a mother and a wife to take that on. I wouldn't say a late part of her life, but for a person that doesn't do things like that on a normal she doesn't do things like that normally. So we'll see what happens, and we'll hopefully we can get her on the show, and she can tell us about her experiences, either on the Thursday show or the Saturday show. We'll see what happens. Anyway, like I said, this is the FSP Cruise Show. I'm JT Black. We're going to sign out here and listen to, watch the March Madness for what it's worth. It's been a pleasure, Black. It's been a pleasure, people, sharing some time with you. For now, we're out of here. See you on Saturday. Peace.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.